Okay, so have you ever felt like your relationships hit a wall? Like you've tried every trick in the book to get that spark back, but nothing seems to work? Well, you're in the right place. Today, we're diving deep into Love Without Limits.
By Grant and Christine.
Exactly. And this book promises a total relationship transformation in just 90 days. And no, it's not about some quick fix or magic spell. It's about taking those practical steps, those concrete actions that can really make a difference.
And I think what's really refreshing about this book is that it's not about trying to decode your partner, you know, trying to figure out what they're thinking or how to change them. It's really about taking ownership yourself, becoming the architect of your own experience and love.
Right. And you know what I appreciate about Grant and Christine is they're not just throwing out these vague pieces of advice. They're veterans in this field. They've been married for decades.
Yeah.
They have tons of experience counseling other couples, and they've really distilled all of that wisdom into this super actionable model.
And it all starts with this really powerful concept, taking 100% responsibility.
Okay.
100%. And I know that might sound kind of intense at first, right? It's not about blaming yourself for everything that goes wrong in the relationship. It's more about recognizing that you have way more influence than you might think.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of people, when they hear that phrase, take 100% responsibility,
Okay.
they might instantly get defensive. It's easy to fall into that trap of, well, they did this or they need to change first.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And the book talks about this idea of moving above the line. So choosing ownership, accountability, responsibility, they even make it into a handy acronym, OAR,
Okay, I like that.
instead of blame, excuses, denial, which is BED.
Oh, man.
See?
AIBED. Get into that OAR, rowing your own course. It's so much better than being stuck.
Yeah.
But how does that actually play out in real life?
Well, Grant tells this really funny story in the book about how he used to get so annoyed with his wife because he felt like she was always nagging him about chores. But then he had this light bulb moment where he realized he was the one dropping the ball. It wasn't really about her nagging. It was about him not stepping up and taking ownership. And once he shifted his perspective, he was actually able to stop that whole cycle of blame and actually find a solution that worked for both of them.
It's amazing how often we do that, though, right? Like we externalize those problems.
Well, it's so
Much
many.
easier to focus on what our partner is doing wrong than to really look at our own contributions to the dynamic.
Oh, 100%. And that's where principle two comes in. Love compounds,
Love
like
compounds.
interest in a bank account.
Okay, now you've got my attention. Tell me more about this whole relationship bank account thing.
So think of it this way. Every positive interaction you have with your partner, a compliment, a gesture of appreciation, quality time together, that's a deposit. And then on the flip side, every negative interaction, criticism, defensiveness, you know, a broken promise, those little digs, those are withdrawal.
Okay, so you're saying we need to make sure we've got enough positive interactions to kind of offset the inevitable conflicts that come up in any relationship.
Exactly. And get this, there's this amazing researcher, Dr. John Gottman, who's dedicated his entire career to studying relationships. And he found that the magic ratio for a thriving relationship is 5.1.
5.1.
5 to 1. 5 positive interactions for every 1 negative interaction.
Okay, that seems doable in theory. But I'm sure it's a lot easier said than done, right? Like life gets busy, we get stressed, and suddenly we're snapping at each other over who unloaded the dishwasher last.
Oh, tell me about it. And that's where self-awareness comes in. But I think the good news is that even small but consistent deposits can make a huge difference. Christine talks about doing this gratitude experiment with her husband, where she committed to thanking him for 3 specific things every single day for a
Oh,
week.
God, love that. How did that go?
It was amazing. She said within a few days, he started reciprocating. And it wasn't just about the gratitude. It's like those little deposits started to create this ripple effect. You know, it increased their overall positivity, and they just started to become way more mindful of their interactions with each other.
So we're being responsible for our own actions. We're making those deposits into our relationship bank account. Things are looking up. But then inevitably conflict rears its ugly head, as it always does. So what happens then?
That's where principle three comes in. Pause, then respond. They introduce this concept in the book called the tiger turtle pattern, which I think so many people will relate to.
Okay, tiger turtle. I'm already intrigued. Paint me a picture.
All right, so imagine this. One partner is the tiger. They're ready to pounce. You know, they want to resolve the conflict immediately. They might even get a little aggressive in their approach. And the other partner is the turtle, retreating into their shell, avoiding that confrontation at all
Oh my
costs.
gosh, I've definitely been both the tiger and the turtle in different relationships.
Right. And it's so common. And it's not about blaming either partner. It's just about understanding that these are often our instinctive responses to feeling threatened or unheard in those moments.
So we're in the heat of the moment, right? Our emotions are going haywire. Our instincts are screaming at us to either attack or retreat. How do we hit the brakes on that whole tiger-turtle dynamic?
That's where the giraffe solution comes in.
The giraffe solution?
The giraffes! You know, they have those big hearts, right?
Okay, yeah.
So it's about approaching the conflict with the intention to understand, not just to win the argument or be right.
Okay, I like where this is going. Less roaring and retreating, more heart-to-heart connection. But how do we actually do that when it feels like everything's going crazy?
One of the keys is learning how to make clear requests and agreements with your partner. So instead of expecting them to read your mind or letting that resentment build up, you get really specific about what you need and what you're feeling.
It's about inviting them to collaborate on a solution rather than just criticizing them.
Exactly. And you know what that ties in perfectly with principle four? Walk the talk. The foundation of integrity.
Integrity. That's a big one. But I feel like we often associate that with, like, honesty or having strong moral character. Mm. What's their take on it?
Mm-hmm. They define integrity as being whole and integrated. So it's about making sure that your words and your actions are aligned. And it's not just about being a good person. You know, it's about showing up authentically in your relationship and following through on your commitments.
Because even those little inconsistencies can really chip away at trust over time.
Right.
Like, let's say you tell your partner you'll be home for dinner at 7 o'clock, but you consistently roll in at like 7:30.
Mm.
That can really create this pattern of broken trust, even if it seems like a minor thing.
Oh, absolutely. And it's so true. And I think what happens is those little things become withdrawals from that relationship bank account we were talking about earlier.
That's exactly.
Grant actually shares this really poignant anecdote in the book about how he used to struggle with this himself. He'd often be running late, getting home from work. And while it seemed insignificant to him, it really did start to erode his wife's trust over time.
It's a good reminder that trust is built in those small, everyday moments, not just the grand gestures.
So true. Are you ready for principle five?
Hit me with it.
All right. This one's super empowering. Grow together, being the best me and the best us.
Okay. I'm all about personal growth.
Yeah.
But how does that translate to a happier, more fulfilling relationship?
It's about shifting that focus away from trying to change your partner and instead focusing on becoming the best version of yourself. Because the reality is we can't control how our partner shows up in the relationship, right? But we absolutely have control over how we show up. And often when we make those positive changes in ourselves, it can inspire our partner to do the same.
So it's less about you need to change,
yeah,
and more about how can I be the best partner I can be?
Exactly. And to help you figure that out, they have this really cool exercise in the book called the best me versus not best me activity.
Best me versus not best me. Okay. I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
So it's pretty simple. You think about those times when you're really thriving in your relationship, when you're feeling connected and loving and supportive, and you ask yourself, what qualities am I embodying in those moments? Like, am I being patient, playful, present? And you write all of those down in your best me column.
Okay, got it. What about the not best me side?
Right. So then you flip it and you think about those times when you're not at your best, when you're easily triggered or reactive or shut down, and you ask yourself, what does my not best me look and feel like? Am I being critical, withdrawn, resentful? And you jot those down as well.
So it's like holding up a mirror to your own patterns of behavior, both the good and the not so good.
Precisely. And the more aware you become of those patterns, the more power you have to choose differently, right? It's about consciously deciding to show up as your best me more often, even when it's hard.
So it's those small daily choices that we make that can ultimately lead to a more fulfilling relationship.
Exactly. It's about progress, not perfection. And you know what? Principle six kind of builds on this idea of personal growth, but takes it a step further. Dream big together, creating a shared vision.
Okay, shared vision. I get it in like a business context, but what about in a romantic relationship? Isn't that a little too, I don't know, corporate-y?
Not at all. And it's not about creating some rigid 5-year plan for your relationship or anything like that. It's really about tapping into the magic that happens when you and your partner dare to dream big together.
So we're talking about consciously creating a future that you're both genuinely excited about.
Exactly. And there's actually research that shows that having that shared vision increases relationship satisfaction.
Interesting.
Because when you're both moving towards something meaningful together, it strengthens your bond and it keeps that spark alive.
That makes sense. It's like having something to look forward to together, something that's going to bring you closer rather than pulling you apart.
Exactly. And to make it even more fun, they suggest creating a shared vision board. It's like a visual representation of your dreams, your goals, your aspirations as a couple.
Oh, I like that. That's a really fun idea. It's like a Pinterest board, but for your relationship.
Exactly. And it's a great way to just get on the same page and make sure you're both moving in the same direction. Now, Principle 7 kind of goes hand in hand with this idea of shared vision. Two, become one, crossing the bridge from me to we.
Okay, me to we sounds like a journey. What's the first step?
It's about shifting from that individualistic mindset to a more relational one. So recognizing that you're not just two separate people orbiting each other, but that you are a team, a we.
So it's about bridging that gap between those two separate worlds and finding that common ground.
Exactly. They use this really great bridge metaphor in the book to illustrate this point. It's about being willing to leave your own perspective behind, even for a little while, and really trying to see the world through your partner's eyes.
That's empathy, right? It's really putting yourself in their shoes and trying to understand where they're coming from, even if you don't necessarily agree with them.
Exactly. And they connect this beautifully to the concept of Ubuntu. It's this African philosophy that essentially means, I am because we are.
Ooh, I love that. It speaks to the interconnectedness of all of us.
Yes. And to really illustrate this point, they share this anecdote about this seemingly trivial argument they had one day over car keys. But as they dug a little deeper, they realized it wasn't actually about the keys at all. It was about these underlying needs and dynamics that weren't being addressed.
It's about looking beyond that surface level conflict to really try to understand the root of what's going on.
Exactly. And that brings us to Principle 8, which I think for a lot of people is the most challenging, but also potentially the most liberating. Let it go, loving wholeheartedly through forgiveness.
Forgiveness. We all know it's important, but it can feel so incredibly difficult, especially when we've been hurt by someone we love.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people have this misconception that forgiveness is about letting the other person off the hook. But Grant and Christine really emphasize that it's about freeing yourself. It's about releasing yourself from the resentment, the anger, the hurt that's weighing you down.
So it's not about condoning the behavior, but it's about choosing to let go of those negative emotions that are keeping you stuck.
Yes. And there's actually fascinating research showing that forgiveness is linked to reduced stress, improved mental health, and greater relationship satisfaction. So it's really a gift that you give to yourself and to your relationship.
It's about choosing peace over resentment. Powerful stuff.
It really is. And they even tie this back to the S-O-P technique that we talked about earlier. You know, it's about remembering that we always have a choice in how we respond to those challenging emotions.
It's about interrupting that cycle of blame and hurt before it spirals out of control.
Exactly. Now, are you ready to dive into Principle 9? This is a big one.
Lay it on me. I'm ready.
All right, here it is. Nurturing intimacy and connection.
Okay, nurturing intimacy and connection. That feels big. Like, this is what it all comes down to, right? That deep connection you have with your partner.
It really is at the heart of it all. But Grant and Christine make this really important distinction between intimacy and just sex.
Okay. Yeah, because those aren't always the same thing, are they?
Definitely not. You know, intimacy, it's about feeling truly seen and known and understood by your partner, like on a soul level.
So it's about so much more than just the physical stuff. It's about that feeling of really getting each other at the deepest level.
Exactly. And you know what they say? They say intimacy, it's not some destination you arrive at. It's an ongoing practice.
I like that.
And it's built on all of these principles that we've been talking about. The responsibility, the communication, the forgiveness, the becoming your best selves. It's like all of those things create the foundation for true intimacy to flourish.
It's like building a house. You can't just slap on a fresh coat of paint and call it a day. You need that solid structure underneath.
Perfect analogy. And speaking of building, let's talk about how to make all of these amazing principles actually stick. Because it's one thing to have these aha moments while we're chatting here, you know?
Right.
But how do we actually integrate these principles into our daily lives?
Yeah, it's easy to walk away feeling super inspired, and then a week later, we fall right back into those old habits.
It's so true. And that's where understanding a little bit about the neuroscience of lasting change can be so helpful, because our brains are wired for habits, right?
Right.
Both good and bad. But the good news is we can actually rewire those neural pathways to create lasting change in our relationships.
Rewire our brains. That sounds kind of intense.
I promise you, it's not as complicated as it sounds. The book actually breaks it down into this really simple three-step process.
Okay, I'm listening.
Yeah. The first step is insight. which we've been doing a lot of today, right?
Yeah.
Uncovering those aha moments that help us see things in a new light.
Yeah, we've definitely had some insights today.
Right.
What's step two?
So step two is repetition and consistency. It's like if you're trying to create a new path in a field, at first it's going to be bumpy and unfamiliar, but the more you walk that path, the more defined it becomes. It's the same thing with creating new habits in our relationship. It takes consistent effort over time.
That's not about being perfect. It's about being persistent.
Exactly. It's about showing up for your relationship even when it's hard, even when you mess up, because we're all going to stumble along the way, right?
Right.
But it's about getting back up and just keep moving forward.
Love that. So what about the third step? You mentioned something about a supportive container. What does that even mean?
Yes. So that's about recognizing that we don't have to do this alone. You know, our brains are actually wired for connection.
Hmm.
And having a supportive environment can make a huge difference when it comes to creating lasting change.
So that could be our partner, but also, you know, friends, family, a therapist, a mentor, anybody who really believes in us and wants to support our growth.
100%. It's about surrounding yourself with people who believe in you, who will hold you accountable, but with love, and who will celebrate those wins along the way.
Yeah, I can definitely see how that would make the whole journey a lot more enjoyable.
Yeah.
And sustainable, too. So we've got all these amazing principles. We've got the neuroscience backing it up. What about some more concrete tools? Like, what can our listeners actually do starting today to make these changes stick?
Well, one of the things I really appreciate about this book is that it's full of really practical tips and exercises. They call them positive actions. And it's all about taking those insights that we've been talking about and actually turning them into tangible habits.
Okay, I'm all about tangible. Give me an example.
Okay, so for the principle of taking 100% responsibility, a positive action could be committing to using that Estoki technique that we talked about earlier. Every time you feel triggered or defensive, remember that pause. That's where your power lies.
It's about choosing a different response.
Exactly. Or let's take the relationship bank account principle. A positive action could be to express gratitude to your partner for one specific thing every single day. Even if it's something small like, hey, I really appreciate that you unloaded the dishwasher this morning, or thank you for making me laugh today. You know, it's those small deposits that really add up over time.
Those are great. I'm already brainstorming some positive actions that I can start implementing in my own relationship. This is great.
And the best part, they have positive actions for each of the 9 principles. So it's really about choosing the ones that resonate most with you and then scheduling them into your week, just like you would any other important appointment.
Yes. Schedule it in. Love that. Okay, so as we wrap up this deep dive, is there any final nugget of wisdom that you want to leave our listeners with?
You know, I think the biggest takeaway from Love Without Limits is that creating an extraordinary relationship, it's not about finding the perfect partner. It's about being the best partner you can be. It's about showing up every single day with intention, choosing love and growth, and just remembering that you have the power to transform your relationship from the inside out.
And don't forget about that best me versus not best me exercise. If you could wave a magic wand and embody just one quality from your best me list today, what would it be? How would that shift your relationship starting right now? Give that some thought, put it into action, and get ready to experience the power of love without limits.